Hi, brothers and sisters. Can you all hear me? Yeah? Okay. I have the fan on, so hopefully it's not too loud. This evening, we have a very particular burden to share with you all. And actually, it's just following all the previous speaking from all the brothers. Have you been enjoying the summer school? I have. It's really been the good news. It's actually just the gospel. To see where we came from, right? And again, remember the questions. What are we being saved from? We really need to see our condition so that we could really appreciate who the Lord Jesus is. So maybe just to start off, in way of a summary, I just have some quick slides to show everybody. You know, we really need to see our real condition, right? So we need to see the condition of man. Because once we see our condition, then we will realize the need of salvation, right? And so some of these points, I'll go through them real quickly. The brothers had already given to us. So the condition of man, you could say, is threefold. So we have a particular condition before God, right? Number one, all have sinned, right? We saw this. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Actually, don't worry about writing down the points and the verse references. I just want to give you a certain impression, okay, tonight. And if you want this list, I could send it to you later. So that's the first thing, right? All have sinned. This is our condition. What's number two? We have fallen under the judgment of God, right? And we've been condemned, right? Because of God's righteousness, because of man's sin, there is a requirement, right? A judgment that has been placed upon us, right? And so we realize that actually all of us, we are under all of the unsaved people are under this judgment, under God's condemnation. Number three, I don't know if this is new for some of us, the wrath of God abides upon him. And actually, even in Ephesians, it calls us children of wrath. Do you know what the wrath of God is like? You know, in the summertime in the Northeast, we get thunderstorms, right? It's kind of, you know, when the weather shifts and it gets dark, and then you kind of feel it in the air, and you're just anticipating, right? Something is coming. Right, this is what wrath is like. It's the judgment of God. It could come anytime. Imagine living under such a feeling, a condition, under the wrath of God. Well, number four, we were destined, right, as unbelievers to perish, to be cast into the lake of fire, which was not prepared for us. It was prepared for Satan, but because man joined himself with Satan, that was our destiny. Now I'm going to show you second slide of man's condition. This is in himself. This is not before God. First of all, we were brought forth in iniquity, right? Were you touched by our brother's example? Even a little child, a little baby, right, has iniquity, has sin. Nobody has taught babies how to sin, toddlers how to sin, but you were just brought forth. This was passed down from generation to generation. Number two, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it's incurable. This is in Jeremiah, right? What is our heart like? Has it ever deceived us, right? This is the condition that we are in. This is in Romans. In my flesh, nothing good dwells. You know, this was Paul's conclusion. And actually, this is my conclusion too. In my flesh, nothing good dwells, to the point where we are hopeless. We try to do good and we cannot do good. And our only conclusion is, wretched man that I am, who is going to save me from this body of death? Number four, this is our condition. We were filled with all unrighteousness. God is righteous, but man, we're filled with all unrighteousness. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. Number five, we're enemies of God, sons of disobedience. Because of the fall of man, because we join ourselves with Satan, we become God's enemies. And so now there's a need for reconciliation. Number six, we're lost like sheep, having gone astray. This is mankind. Without Jesus, we're just lost. But praise the Lord, were you not touched that the Lord came, right? Left the 99, came for us, for me, the one lost sheep. Seven, our condition, dead in our offenses and sins, right? We see this in Ephesians. Number eight, a slave of sin. Who's our master? Sin. Have you ever had this experience? I just can't stop doing, fill in the blank. Nine, having no hope today. Man is hopeless without God. Okay, final set of our condition. This is man's condition before Satan. Number one, children of the devil. I think we saw this, right? Previous message, you are of your father, the devil. Number two, the God of this age has blinded the thoughts of the unbelievers. This is what happens many times. When we preach the gospel, we realize that the God of this age, Satan, has blinded the thoughts of all the ones around us. Three, the whole world lies in the evil one. You know, before Satan, the whole world, it's kind of like an operating table, okay? Satan, he's a surgeon. He gets to do whatever he wants. That's what it means. The whole world lies in the evil one. Number four, the authority of Satan, the authority of darkness. This is what we were under in, okay? And then finally, as was mentioned, right? This is the destiny that we all faced at one time. Go into the eternal fire that was prepared for the devil. Well, brothers and sisters, I hope that gave us a certain impression. This was our condition. In such a condition, I hope we all realize there is a need. And I hope tonight you can see that you have a need. You have a need for what? Or I would should say, you have a need for who? So tonight we're coming to this message, outline number five. And I want you to focus on this one word, the Savior God. If you don't come away with any other word, please highlight, circle this word, Savior. Savior. I hope you would even write, my Savior. I hope the Savior, the God Savior, the Savior God would be your Savior tonight. You would meet him. You would appreciate him. You would love him. You would respond to him. I really love this word, Savior. Actually, I was looking at all the outlines. This is a special outline because this is the first instance of this word, Savior. Up to this point, we've talked about salvation. We talked about being saved. And you can say, oh, it about means the same thing. But you know why Savior is special? Because Savior makes it very clear. Salvation is a person. Savior is a person. My Savior. Do you have a Savior? I have a Savior. You know who my Savior is? Jesus Christ. That's the name of my Savior. My Savior is Jesus Christ. How about we all declare that together? Ready? One, two, three, go. My Savior is Jesus Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, I love my Savior. I love him. I love what he did for me. I love his heart for me. I love what the process that he went through to come to reach me. Okay, in this outline, this tonight, it's going to be a gospel meeting. Do you like gospel meetings? I hope you like a gospel meeting. We need to see, actually, this wonderful Savior was promised to us in Genesis 3. Did you know that? Brothers, can you pull up the first verse? Genesis 3:15. And we were told that Genesis 3 is a negative book. That's true because you see the fall of man. But actually, it ends in a wonderful way because at the end of Genesis, we get the gospel. I will put enmity between you and the woman. and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise you on the head, but you will bruise him on the heel. Thank you, brothers. This was promised to us that the seed of the woman, he's going to come and destroy the devil. He's going to bruise him, destroy the one who has the might of death. Isn't that wonderful? Man was in such a pitiful condition, fallen, and God came, Jehovah came and preached the gospel to Adam and Eve. We need to see this. This is a promise to us. But we also need to realize that throughout the scripture, we have prophecies concerning this one, this wonderful Savior. And we just don't have time to get through all of them tonight. But we just want to give you a little taste, right? I'll just mention a few. You know, our brother Ricky mentioned in Exodus 12, in the story of the Passover. Do you realize that that was a prophecy concerning Christ? You know, the lamb that was prepared, the lamb that was without blemish. You know, the Lord Jesus, he was examined for 4 days, just like the unblemished lamb, right? On the day of the Passover, he was examined because he needed to be so pure, so prepared in a certain way, right? To be our unique substitute. So at the end of the examination process, you know, Pontius Pilate, you know what he came to the conclusion? His conclusion is, I find no fault in this man. Right, this was prophesied in Exodus, right? Actually, another verse I really want to really bring to your attention. Maybe not a lot of us is we're familiar with Isaiah, but maybe brothers, you could bring out Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was wounded because of our transgressions. He was crushed because of our iniquities. The chastening for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we have been healed. Thank you, brothers. This is another prophecy, and I'm going to develop this a little bit more. But I just want to give you a certain picture, right?
Listen to the message.
The Old Testament is filled with these prophecies concerning our Savior, right? And so we need to read the Old Testament. We'll recommend some chapters later, but I encourage you. We need to read the Bible, because through the Bible, you get to meet the Savior. And this is why our brother Fabrice encouraged us. I hope tonight you have your Bible, okay? We'll get to that verse. I want you to actually open it in your own Bible. But if you come to the bottom half of the outline, this is where the burden is that, you know, this God-man Savior went through a process. And the first step is incarnation. I hope you appreciate incarnation. You know, we need to consider this. God, the Creator, has now become my Savior. The infinite God chose to be limited. He came to be a finite man. Think about that. He was in the womb of a virgin for 9 months. What was that like? I think all of us in this pandemic, we feel we're being restricted. We're being limited. You know, somebody, experience limitation. His name is Jesus. We can learn limitation from him. Actually, our limitation pales to the limitation that he experienced. And he lived a life of subjection. He was subject to his parents, subject to his family, to his surroundings. He learned all of this as a human being. He lived a normal human life. He learned all these things. And actually, eventually we'll see all of this is for a reason. It's so that the salvation we eventually enjoy, you need to realize it's so rich, right? Because when we contact this one, this Savior, he knows what it feels to be limited. He knows what it feels to be misunderstood or to be betrayed. The second point, crucifixion. Actually, when the Lord Jesus, when he came on the earth, he was living a life, you could say, to the cross. This is really just his life, his testimony. You know, I shared a little bit, you know, he was examined. And then after that period of examination, he was pronounced, a certain judgment was declared, right? And then after that, You know what happened? He was scourged. Maybe, brothers, you could pull up Isaiah 53 again. Maybe for some of the younger ones, we don't know what scourged means. Again, please, you could turn to your own Bible. Read it from your own Bible. The chastening for our peace was upon him. By his stripes, we have been healed. Thank you, brothers. His stripes. What stripes? This was the scourging that took place. What's scourging? It's whipping. But it's not just rope. It's like there were chains of iron, right? It was sharp. And so as the Lord was being scourged, his flesh was being ripped. There were stripes all over his body. It was by those stripes we have been healed. We were destined, right, to see death, but by those stripes we have been healed. And after that grueling process, what did they do? They put a throne, of crowns made out of thorns, not just rose thorns, like small thorns, thorns probably 1 inch or bigger on his head. And then they hit him, they beat him over his head. And so must have blood came forth. And then they were all the time, what were they doing? They were rebuking him. They were laughing at him. And eventually he had to carry his own cross. Brothers and sisters, the cross was not just there prepared for him. He had to carry the cross over 100 pounds. Mind you, this is after him being scourged. He had to carry it on his back and walk with the cross on his back to Calvary. And once he was there, he was crucified. He was nailed on our cross. You know, when we think of a nail, we might think of a nail. No, this is not a nail to make projects. It's a nail. It's like a stake. You know why? Because when he was nailed on the cross, you see, you look at your hand. Okay. The nail can't pass through just this part because this is flesh. And once you hang, you know, he was hung there for 6 hours, about 6 hours. If it was through here, he would have just slid down. And of course, you know, both hands and then on his 2 feet. So it had to be a pretty long nail and it had to go through bone. That's the price. The Lord Jesus, as our Savior, paid for us. So he was nailed there. And while he was nailed there, people walking by, these are the ones he was trying to save, mocking him. Oh, you said you could save others, but you yourself, you cannot save. Mockery. Wagging their heads. Even the ones next to him, right, the two robbers. Well, one of them turned. But what kind of suffering, the persecution that he suffered. And then eventually, and I just fast forward to this point, you know, the first 3 hours, he was persecuted by man. But at the 6th hour, something happened. Darkness came over the land. And at that moment, he was being judged. Why? Because at that moment, righteousness and love met. God loves us. His love demands forgiveness. But God is righteous. His righteousness demanded payment. Righteousness and love met on the cross. And at that moment, the Lord Jesus, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who did not know sin was made sin on our behalf. So in the eyes of God, there is one unique sinner. The Lord Jesus, my Savior, he was there as the sinner, as our substitute, and he was judged. The wrath of God came upon him. All of our sins, he was judged for that. To the point where he declares, my God, why have you forsaken me? Actually, we don't understand that suffering. It says in Psalm 22 that the Lord was drew from the womb, and from that point on, the Father was always his Father. He didn't know what it was like to be apart from the Father. Can you imagine such a life, one with the Father? When he was baptized, what did the Father say? This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I have found my delight. The Son was the Father's delight. But because of our sins, God, the Father, had to separate. And please be clear, young people, this is an economical separation. What kind of suffering was that? And then eventually he said, I thirst, because I believe he was touching the second death. He was touching that on our behalf. And eventually, he yielded up his spirit and he said, it is finished. I realize this gospel story is an old story for many of us. We've heard it before. But I really hope that when we come to this, when we come to the word, and I really hope tonight you would spend some time, maybe in your small group, maybe before you go to bed, read the word. Know your Savior, so that the Savior can become my Savior, my personal Savior. This is my Savior. We need to know our Savior, because we need to understand that this Savior, he drank the cup of wrath, right? The cup, right? This portion, it was not meant for us. It was not meant for you. All that he endured, he drank that so that what? We can drink and enjoy the cup of salvation. You know, following tonight and tomorrow, we're going to shift to salvation, organic salvation, regeneration, renewing. We're going to touch about calling on the Lord. We're going to speak about some wonderful things that we can enjoy in our salvation. You need to realize, young people, this cup of salvation that we drink, it was paid for by a certain price. Somebody had to drink a cup of wrath first before you can drink the cup of salvation. I need to hand it over to Curtis now. I think maybe as we transition, maybe you could just close your eyes and you could just pray whatever touched you. Okay, just for maybe 15, 20 seconds. Let's do that. And then Curtis, you could take it from here.
Amen. I appreciated how Shepherd started our time this evening, and I just same feeling. I would rename your outline if you haven't already from the Savior God to my Savior God. I really hope that this would be all our experience, that It wouldn't just be someone that we talk about. You know, we have things in our room. This is my room, right? This is my dog, right? This is mine. Well, why not our Savior? It's not just a thing or something that was given to us, but it's, oh, my Lord Jesus. He's my Savior God. I'd like to continue just to highlight and follow what our brother was sharing with us this evening. And I'm just going to open with a couple of verses. If you could first flip to Psalm chapter 22, okay? Psalm chapter 22. If you have your Bible, please flip there. And I'm just going to read two verses before we go there. This comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. I'm just going to read part of it. Or, first I delivered to you, first of all, that which also I received. This is the key point, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Just as it was prophesied, Christ died for our sins. How about we just say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you for dying for my sins. Lord, I love you. But I think sometimes when I read something like this, it can still remain objective. So there's another verse I feel that goes a little deeper. And I'll just read it to you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And this is also in your memory verses. It says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous on behalf of the unrighteous, that he might bring you, right? That he might bring Matt. He might bring Isaac. He might bring Alan, Shepherd, he might bring you to God. On the one hand, being put to death in the flesh, but on the other, made alive in the spirit. The word I'd like to focus on as we progress is suffered. You know, it wasn't just a thing. Sometimes I see Jesus, oh, he was so powerful. He's my Savior. But he suffered. He was genuinely a man. The nail, I've never seen that when Shepherd showed that. I've never seen that. But I was impressed. Wow, Lord, you actually suffered as a man. And now, you know, in the first verse I read, it says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Well, where is this prophesied? Actually, this is spoken of in Psalm chapter 22. And in the very first verse, you know, when Shepherd was speaking, he said at the end, just before the Lord died on the cross, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's right here in Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Right? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning? Can you imagine this? The Lord Jesus, he's on the cross and he's crying out, why are you so far away? I'll come back and contrast this, but I'd like to identify one more verse in this chapter. There's many verses. And it's verse 14. It says, I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. You know, our brother, he focused on some of the things that were not only taking place, you know, the stripes that he was describing, the piercings in his hand, but also there was something going on within. It wasn't just man's judgment that he was facing, but he was facing God's judgment for all of our sake. And I think, you know, I thank the Lord for that. But as I read this, I don't know if you all have ever seen wax melt or quickly. You know, that the judgment we talked about yesterday, the lake of fire, that's not meant for us. It's meant to be Satan's judgment. But the Lord experienced that judgment on our behalf. Can you believe it? He experienced that judgment so we didn't have to. I'm so thankful that's not my destiny anymore. But can you believe that someone passed through that so you didn't have to? So your friends, Lord willing, won't have to. Your mom, your brothers, your sisters won't have to. And I'd like to just demonstrate recently, I don't know if any of you know what a soldering iron or a wood-burning tool is, but it gets up to about 900 degrees. 900 degrees Fahrenheit. This is very hot, okay? So I'm just going to demonstrate. I'm going to turn my camera down so you can all see. So, you know, this is sturdy. It's somewhat sturdy. You know, I'm pressing on it. This is a wax candle, okay? This, you could say this is like God's judgment, right? It's not something that was seen. But as soon as it's touched, instantly, that verse says, the Lord's heart, it melted like wax. He was all alone. Can you see that? You know, to me, that's really impressive that our Savior, someone who's so strong, his inward parts, they just melted because of all the suffering that he went through. It wasn't just he snapped his fingers, but he lived the 33 and a half years. Even if you read the verses before that, they sneered at him. Even his clothes, they cast lots, they gambled for his clothes. They mocked him while he was up there. Even they said, why doesn't your Savior come and save you? Your God come and save you? If you're so dedicated to him and he's so dedicated to you, you know? But this is the other phrase. He suffered what? For our sins. I'd like to do another illustration. You saw this little illustration that I had on my table here, right? I think sometimes when we maybe see the three circles and we're described their sin, right? And so we draw it in, right? Maybe you draw it on a little bit, right? You can see that. But the Lord, he suffered for our sins. You know, it wasn't just a light thing, but what happened? What was it like to be betrayed? You know, have you ever been lied about? Have you ever lied to your parents or to someone and then they found out? How did you feel? What about that sin, that guilt, that loneliness? Have you ever felt like there's nobody there that can help you? Right? Are there things that we've seen or we've done that, oh, no one could ever forgive me? Right? Thoughts we've had. Right? Things we've done with our hands. Things we've spoken to people. Right? You know, I hope we would be impressed that it's not just something he did, but he experienced every single one of those things. You know, I'd just like to share this. A few years ago, you know, this was one of the experiences where I just felt so alone. Someone I'm very close to, I was having a conversation, and it was so interesting. It was at that moment I felt, wow, I'm having a breakthrough in my relationship with this person. It's been so many years, and I feel like I'm having a break. This was literally my thought. Within about a minute, something happened, and the person just changed. Something was said, and I remember feeling shattered. For days, they said something. They kicked me out of their house. And I was in shock. I was physically fine. But I remember that night, I couldn't sleep. I remember just laying in bed shaking. Because I was so distraught that I thought this relationship with this person, you know, this relative, I thought it was over. There was no coming back. But you know what I appreciated? And it lasted for a few days. I remember driving and even weeping before the Lord, opening how I felt about this whole situation. But I just appreciated that the Lord, he suffered. He suffered for my sins. He suffered for that person's sins. So I didn't have to suffer in vain. I'd like to read one more verse and then revisit the first one. And this is the one in Hebrews. I'd like to just encourage you all, what happened? The suffering, he didn't suffer as a martyr, but he suffered that he would become our Savior. In this verse, Hebrews 9:22, I'm just going to read the second half. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. All that the Lord suffered for us wasn't just so that he would be some perfect man that died as a martyr that loved God, but he died that his blood would be shed for us, that we could be saved from our sins, that we don't have to live a life in vanity any longer. I thank the Lord every day. Lord, thank you for your blood. I practice to claim it right first thing in the morning. Lord, I don't want to live a vain life anymore. And then what this touches me is just finishing, you know, with Psalm 22:1, is that it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was the Lord's experience, but I'd like to tell you, this never has to be our experience. He went through that. The second verse I read to you, he suffered to bring us to God. He was separated, like Shepherd said, economically. It's okay if you don't know what that means. But he was alone. But you know what? You never have to be alone. My God, you have not forsaken me. Right? The reason we can say this is because he resurrected. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, it says, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Today, this one has come to dwell in you. So whenever Satan tries to come in and lie to you, I guarantee he will try and lie to you tonight. It says he is the accuser. His job is to accuse us day and night. He will accuse you that you are alone, that no one loves you, that what you just did, there's no coming back. What you just said, there's no coming back. That's a lie. You tell Satan to go away and you claim the blood and you remember how the Lord suffered so you don't have to in vain. You just, in a sweet way, Lord, I need you. Lord, come and meet me. Lord, thank you for dying for me. Sometimes we don't have a lot of love in our heart, but what we can do is we can thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for me. Thank you, Lord, for dying and suffering for me. Lord Jesus, I love you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Maybe right now, before we transition, maybe something on your heart got touched as we're sharing. I'm not trying to dig and I'm not asking you to dig. But you can just give it to the Lord. And even maybe you just need to tell Satan, go away. I'm done with you. Go deal with someone else. But you can't deal with me here, right? I have no room for you. Thank you, Lord, for what you did. I hope we would have an appreciation, and I hope that maybe the Savior became my Savior tonight. Anyways, maybe I could pass it back to Fabrice. Thank you for your time tonight, you all.